Hello and welcome to another episode of the African Biotech Conversations podcast. I am your host, Adrienne. So it's ABC's podcast with Adrienne. And today I'm joined by Peter Duncan, who is the Chief Scientific Officer of Afrobodies, a biotech company based in Cape Town, South Africa. Hello, Peter, and thank you for making time to join us.
Hello, happy to be here.
I'm going to give a bit of background about Peter, and then we can dive into the questions. So Dr. Peter Duncan is originally from Ireland, but he has been living and working in South Africa for over 8 years. He completed a BSc in Sport and Exercise Science at the University of Limerick in Ireland, followed by an MSc in Molecular Exercise Physiology at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. He then finished his postgraduate education with a PhD in cell and molecular biology at the Manchester Metropolitan University in England. So he has quite an extensive background. And then he moved on to a postdoc in South Africa at Stellenbosch University under the mentorship of Professor Kathy Mayborg at the Department of Physiological Sciences, where he focused his research around skeletal muscle. And after completing his postdoctoral fellowship, Peter then set up a biotech company with none other but his better half, his wife, Benedicta, in South Africa. And this company was set up in 2016. The company, as I mentioned earlier, is called Afrobodies, that specializes in the development and production of recombinant alpaca antibodies, or better known as nanobodies. So while Peter's wife, Benedicta, serves as the chief executive officer, Peter is currently the chief scientific officer of Afrobodies. I hope I did you justice there, Peter.
Yeah, very good. I'm happy with that.
Okay. So Peter, tell me, how did you come about creating Afrobodies? What was lacking in the space that made you think you should get into the biotech industry side of things after your postdoctoral studies and start a biotech company, Afrobodies?
Yeah, so it's always a good question to ask any biotech entrepreneur. So for my wife and I, there were two main reasons. One of the reasons was that when you're doing research work in South Africa, say in the biomedical kind of discipline area, and you're using nanobodies, you find that all the antibodies are all imported into the country, and you have to wait long times, from maybe 2 to 4 weeks, or maybe even more, from the time you order something before it gets into the country. And you also have to pay about twice the price of the antibody as you would if you were based in Europe or USA. So this, when I was doing my research at Stellenbosch University, it used to drive me crazy because it would hold up all my work. And obviously research budgets are quite tight in Africa. They're not as big as what you have in Europe and that. So I was saying to my wife, there's an opportunity here where we could actually really help the researchers in South Africa and on South African continent as a whole by at least producing some of the antibodies that are used by researchers. Obviously, you're not going to be able to produce every single one because there's 30,000 or more different antibodies that people may need to use. In addition to the, say, antibody replacement, as part of my research work during the course of my PhD and postdoc, I was also becoming aware that there's a lot of new discoveries yet to be made, say, in relation to, say, human cells and animal cells work, for example, and that there's a lot of new and novel proteins present in cells that nobody knows about yet, so that these ones will need antibodies to detect them. So that was kind of the foundation of our business and those two principles. One was to kind of replace some of the current antibodies on the market. And the second part was to go after new discoveries.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You see, what I really love about your story is you noticed a need, you noticed a problem in your own personal experience as a researcher. and you became part of the solution. So you didn't just sit back and complain and say, well, it is Africa. it is what it is. But you jumped right in and became the solution. And that is one of the reasons why I love entrepreneurship, because aside from the business side of things, I believe that entrepreneurs are actually people who take on a problem and want to solve the problem and make everyone's life a little bit better, either on a safety, improving convenience, or just becoming a revolutionary product. So on that note, would you say the products of Afrobodies, would it be on the side of revolutionary or evolutionary? So are you improving what is already on the market, or do you have like new class of products that are unique in the space?
Yeah, so I would definitely class it as revolutionary. And I'll explain briefly why. Our company, we focus on making just one specific type of, well, it's called an antibody, but they're called nanobodies or recombinant pack antibodies to give them their full title. Now, it's definitely our company's belief that these special type of antibodies hold great potential in a wide market, such as in your life science research, in your immunodiagnostics for human and animal health, and also in immunotherapy for human and animal health. So to give just a little bit of context, so the majority of antibodies currently sold, say, in the life science research market are usually produced in mice or rabbits or sheep, etc., those type of animals. But they suffer a lot from reproducibility and adaptability for customer needs. Now, the nanobodies that we produce address all those major issues, and they're highly adaptable to customer needs, and they're highly reproducible. So they solve some of the bigger issues in the life science research sector. The other two markets for diagnostics and therapeutics, the nanobodies, we believe in the next 5 to 10 years are going to really play a bigger role than what they currently play. At the moment, they currently play, I would say, less than 1% of the antibody diagnostic and therapeutic market, but that's definitely going to exponentially grow in the next 5 to 10 years because of the, I would call kind of, the special properties of nanobodies. They're just really adaptable for different customer needs. So, yeah.
That's really fantastic. And I'm curious, have you succeeded in solving at least the cost problem? I mean, how does your antibodies compare in terms of cost to what is imported?
Yeah, so it definitely, like in the South African context, for example, because we don't have like obviously long shipping, so we can obviously reduce those costs by quite a bit. And as regards being on a cost basis compared to, say, imported products, we will typically be on either a slight, maybe 10, 15% cheaper potentially, but the added benefits is that we add this kind of like special add-ons that we put onto our antibodies that actually make them more valuable and useful to the researcher than the antibodies they would buy in compared to the other ones. So while we might say only be 10% cheaper, if you add in everything together, they're probably going to be maybe 20 or 30% cheaper. So it's definitely going to make a big saving for the life science researchers' budgets in South Africa. And we are quite passionate about that and trying to help the South African researchers and even the researchers in Africa as a whole, because it definitely is our view as a company that researchers on this continent have had a very bad deal from all other companies providing them with reagents and stuff like that. So we're trying to change this. It's going to be a long journey for sure, but you know, you have to start someplace. Yes. And yeah, so over the next few weeks, the first few of our nanobody products will be entering into the life science market. So we're quite excited about that.
That's fantastic. And I believe that that actually answers the question around what your company's purpose is in Africa. You're trying to bridge that gap and make convenience and make a better product and just shorten the supply chain I know from experience that cold transportation is not the cheapest. Sometimes it's even more costly than the product if you have to ship something on that cold storage. It's quite an expensive endeavor. So I really congratulate you on that. But I'm curious, how did you transition from noticing all these problems and then actually creating a company? I know it's been a few years, but in a brief, how did that work in your mind?
Yeah.
Did you just go, this is a problem, I see the opportunity, let's do it? I'm so glad that you also had a supportive partner, but how did that conversation happen? Was she already in business? Who started this whole venture?
So, yeah, well, I'd first of all start off by saying it's been a very tough journey, for sure. Starting a business and running this in Africa is, you face challenges that you never even thought about. So kind of the conversation initially started, I suppose, was this, like, I would often be complaining to my wife about, like, all the delay times of getting stuff into the country and the costs. And also then as well, I would be excited, though, about the opportunities that I could see in the different markets that our company targets, such as life science and therapeutic and diagnostics. So we had to, first of all, kind of, like, do our market research, or kind of our strategy, set out the core concept of our business, what are we going to focus on. So that was how we kind of came about focusing on making nanobodies, because some of the reading around the area that I had seen, I saw these nanobodies as having great potential to address all the problems and opportunities that I could see in the different markets. Mm-hmm. So once we kind of had that final, at least that put together, then we could start going out, and we had to try to find people who could actually help us in making the, and I suppose, turning our vision into a reality, I suppose, in many ways. So we had to bring in some additional scientific expertise. And then, of course, we also had to bring in some funding as well to make the whole company viable and get us up and running. So, those were mainly involved. My wife and I traveling around South Africa, meeting people, talking about our business and seeing if they would come on board and help us in their different areas of expertise. So definitely it became quite a bit of a team effort to get the company set up. For sure.
Yeah. I saw a quote on your website, which is a famous African quote, that if you want to go fast, go alone, or African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Has it been easy finding partner on this venture? Is that something that you've done with quite some ease, or is it one of those challenges of being an African-based biotech company?
Definitely, I would say a challenge. It's very much a case of, well, you have to put yourself out there, first of all, to meet people and have the conversations, and you have many conversations that don't lead to anything, you know, for whatever reason, and you have some conversations that will lead to something, so... It's very much a matter of knocking on many doors and never knowing which door might actually be a useful door for you to go through. So lots of rejection, for sure. I always say to people, especially on the financing front, is that, like, I'll probably have to talk to 1,000 people, and 999 people say no, they're not going to say fund this. But that one person... will, but you don't know who that one person is before you start. So you can try to kind of narrow it down. That's definitely the situation, unfortunately, for African biotech companies, is that there's been no real experience or track record of funding and financing biotech companies in Africa, by and large, maybe one or two exceptions. So investors, by and large, don't understand the concept of the high risk, high reward type of scenario and the timelines. Like, for example, the first 2 to 3 years of any biotech company basically are burning through money, making losses. But then once you start getting the products out in markets, your sales, like, grow exponentially and that. So, so we've always had a few funny looks when we go to investors and we show them our like projections, and they're like, how can we give you this amount of money at the start? You just throwing it away, and we're like, no, it's actually being used to develop the products that we will sell. So
the product,
that's the way.
One of my goals with this podcast is also that we can reach some of those people in the investment circles that are not necessarily or have a scientific background and understanding, that they can then hear from the actual actors some of these stories, some of these challenges, and have a more realistic expectation, even if it just changes their perspective and mindset by a few degrees. I would really feel like we've achieved something, because it's something I've already heard from other companies, and you certainly echo that. So apart from that challenge, what other challenges would you say you face as unique challenges that you face as an African based biotech company?
Yeah, I suppose one of the other challenges that we faced, and I suppose it kind of surprised me because I'm originally from Ireland. So, but when your company is set up in Africa, a lot of people, especially in the biotech sector, a lot of people are like sometimes skeptical of the quality of your product. So we were fortunate in the way that when the COVID pandemic hit, we looked upon this as an opportunity to showcase the quality and what we could do as a company. So basically, in short, what we did as a company was we developed nanobodies to target the COVID virus and to neutralize it. And now we're working on bringing those nanobodies forward as a therapeutic for the disease. So this allowed us to showcase to the world that, like, there's a biotech company in South Africa that can actually make high-quality biotech products. And, you know, let's believe in them, that actually what they are saying is true, that they do have high quality products that can be used all over the world, etc. So in some ways, COVID was good for us in that term, but definitely for biotech companies in Africa, it will be a challenge trying to break into the high value markets of Europe and the USA. When you're coming from Africa, you're going to have to try to find a way to enter buyers in those markets, that the quality of your product is good, if not better, of what's already available. So so we finally kind of broken through that project that we ran. So
And you bring that up. I just also want to use this platform to have you tell us there is something, an innovation that you guys just put out in the public media. Do you want to tell us what AfroBodies has just recently achieved in relation to COVID and the nanobodies? Yeah.
So this for me is one of our most exciting projects. So one of the key pillars of AfroBodies has been to go into the therapeutics market to treat diseases. So, but we had always thought that therapeutics was a longer-term vision for our company. But when COVID arrived, we saw that this was an opportunity to go after a disease that could allow us to get faster entry into the market, as well as showcasing our ability. So what we've been successful in the company is doing is developing what are called neutralizing nanobodies against the virus. So this means our nanobodies that we developed stop the virus from entering cells, and thus they are a potential treatment.
Wow.
And what we're working on now doing is putting the nanobodies into an inhaler type device, so patients can inhale them into their lungs, and that will stop the disease from progressing. So so this is a very exciting project for everybody to be involved in. Yeah, so we'll see how it all goes. So
fantastic news. Really, really exciting to see that you guys made such an achievement, and you're African-based biotech company. Really, congratulations to you and the team. And I am just going to use this platform, because that's why I created the platform, to say that you guys have put out a call, right, for collaborators. People can go onto your website, www.afrobodies, that's AFROBODIES.com, and check out your news and media and see this story. And I know you're looking for collaborators to push this to the finish line. So I just wanted to slip that in there, because when we had our pre-recording meeting, this wasn't yet a reality. And so I was very excited to see this in the last few days. So, Peter, I really appreciate our conversation. And some of the things I've picked up from you is you've mentioned that some of the skills that you've had to rely on in your entrepreneurial journey have been a lot of resilience in the face of all these challenges. You've also mentioned a lot of communication skills and market research, so financial skills, business skills. What other skills would you say you found most useful to possess as an entrepreneur, as a bio-entrepreneur based in Africa?
I suppose maybe one other important is time management, because when you're running your own, there's only so much time in the day and there's always so many tasks to do, so you have to try to like figure out a priority list or prioritize the work that's being done and try to achieve what you can in that time period. So I think that's something that you learn as your business progresses. At the start, everyone is running around maybe a bit aimlessly, so because you're chasing so many different leads and that, but then you realize to kind of prioritize certain leads more than others. But I think undoubtedly.
Do you have a system, a method, or you've sort of adapted it?
I've sort of kind of adapted it a bit.
And you're flexible as you go.
Yeah, so, for me, with the time. The time management thing, one thing that I find useful and that I would definitely recommend to people is to start your day early, because from once, say, 8 o'clock hits here in South Africa, I just have people either calling me or emailing me needing answers to things. So first, but before 8 o'clock, at least I get a chance to kind of set up my day and, you know, do things, because it's that's probably one of my tips to entrepreneurs is start your day early and try to get your work done, or at least part of it. So, and then the other thing is have belief in yourself.
What time does your day start?
I try to start my day at 5, so
I do the same, sometimes even earlier. So I'm definitely with you on that tip. Yeah, because once you get those few hours under control, the rest of the day can spin out of control. You know, you've gotten sort of the most important things
done.
At least for yourself.
So
that you can face another day.
True.
Yeah. And then one last question, Peter. In your opinion, what sort of trends are you currently seeing that have the potential to have the most impact on the biotech industry in Africa? And do you have sort of predictions on how this is likely to play out over the next few years? What can people look forward to in the biotech space in Africa? Have you picked up any trends, anything that people should be looking out for?
I think in relation to the biotech trends in Africa, I think one of the areas I see is modifying food crops to make them more suitable for growth on the African continent to try to address the food shortage crisis. I think that's an area that could really grow quickly in the next 5 to 10 years. So, so we'll see. But it takes a lot of time to develop these crops. So, but that's probably biotech in Africa. That's probably one of the bigger areas that I would see going forward. So I would like to say on the Afrobody side, I would love to see therapeutics in Africa really moving forward. But I just can't see it moving forward without getting the private sector involved in a big way. So, and at the moment, they don't seem to be so keen to get involved. So we're trying to push that. It's a heavy lorry and we need help.
A lot of hands on deck. I agree. Yeah, so thank you so much, Peter. This has been so informative. This has been so enlightening. And I'm really sure that other bio-entrepreneurs and other players of the biotech ecosystem will also find this interview very useful, inspirational. My takeaway on this is when you see a problem, instead of complaining or expecting the solution to come from somewhere else. Try and be the solution. Try and be part of the solution. And also, we need more partnerships, more collaboration and solidarity within the biotech space in Africa to sort of face those uniquely African challenges that yourself and other players in the sector face on a daily basis. And start your day early, as early as possible. Or maybe for other people, it's on the side, so they'd rather end it later than usual. I have also heard of such spins to the question. But thank you so much for your time, Peter. It's really been a pleasure.